chapter 3 and chapter 4. So chapter 3, 1 to 16. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "If you are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Then chapter 4. Now, he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan man came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus declared, I, the one you're speaking to you, am I am he. May God bless his reading of the word.
So this will have to be part two of the video. I couldn't get it to flip around right away, but I just want to share with you a few thoughts from my heart and to leave a message with you from God's word. If you would take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 3. Here is a very familiar passage. In fact, I preached on this not that long ago here in our church, looking through John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. And of course, here we have two interesting people who are meeting Jesus, actually just a couple of days apart. As we read John chapter 3, we find the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He continues on here talking with Nicodemus about how the Spirit works like the wind, and Jesus is amazed. In fact, in verse 10, he says, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He continues on, of course, talking about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and then, of course, one of the greatest verses in all of Scriptures, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Here we have Nicodemus meeting Jesus by night, and he has so many things going for him, but his greatest and most pressing need is that he has to be born again. Before we think through some of the things that are going on with Nicodemus, I'd like for us to show the great contrast that we find as we begin to read in chapter 4. The Bible says, beginning verse 3 of chapter 4, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Just as much as Nicodemus needed to hear that he had to be born again, here's the Samaritan woman, and Jesus has it put on his heart that he has to find her. He has to go to this place. The Bible says in verse 5, Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me to drink, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Here we have Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman. They really couldn't be two more opposite type of people. But for me, as I read this passage, it reminds me so much of the people of Moldova. On the one hand, we have Nicodemus. He's an extremely religious person, to say the least. He's a ruler. He has been trained in every possible way. More than likely, he's very wealthy. He holds many positions, and he has been given a much privilege in his life. And we don't have a lot of rich people here in Moldova, but we certainly have a lot of religious people. Moldova is 98% Orthodox, 98% Russian Orthodox. And so if we head out of our building here and just start talking to people as we do and asking them about their faith, asking them about what do they believe about God, they basically all believe in God. They basically all would call themselves Orthodox Christians. And there really is very few people that we meet, except for maybe just a few of the young people that we talk to, who don't consider themselves Christian, who don't believe in God or even in Jesus, oftentimes in saints and Mary and angels and other things. But they really, just like Nicodemus, they do not understand that they need to be born again. And so in many ways, as I look at this passage, which is very well known to all of us, they know many things about God, but they don't know God. They know that Christ died on the cross and rose again. In fact, every Easter, they all proclaim, he is risen indeed. But they don't understand the why. The fact that he really died on the cross so that he could save them from their sins. And the fact that if they would trust in Christ as their Savior, repenting from their sins, that they would be born again and receive eternal life. They know something about Christ. They've heard something somewhere, something that they heard somewhere where they memorized the Lord's Prayer or some other religious thing, a lot like Nicodemus. But at the same time, they are so far away from faith in Christ because they just simply don't know him. They've simply not been born again, despite all of their religion. And finally, we see here this Samaritan woman. She is a woman who, as a Samaritan, would have nothing to do with Jews, and generally speaking, Jews would have nothing to do with her. But here she is, and Christ has put in his heart that he must needs go by her area. The Bible says here, as we know from this passage, that he's going to keep staying two more days after she's there. And she's the opposite of Nicodemus. She doesn't have a lot of money. She's come all by herself at the hottest part of the day, not when the other women would have come there. She's not socially accepted. She's not invited to people's places and things. She's an outcast. She's an outsider. She does know something about religion, and we'll see that here in just a moment. But she is not being accepted by others. And we meet a lot like this too as well. Very poor people. Moldova is the poorest country in Eastern Europe. We have over 75% unemployment. We have people who should be here working and living their families, but instead they're in many other countries all around Europe, working, just trying to find money. They in places where they don't fit. And a lot of these Moldovans, when they end up in Western European countries, they really don't fit in there because of language, because of culture, because of how poor they are. And even right now, out of our own church people, out of our church members, those who have grown up here and been baptized in their faith, grown up here. And we've got them scattered all over the country. And I just have to encourage them as a pastor while you're there, be a faithful witness, find a place where you can try to go to church and be a faithful witness to the places where you are. And so here she is, this is a Samaritan woman. At first, beginning of verse 9, she just calls Jesus a Jew. She doesn't really understand why Jesus as a Jew would be talking with her, asking for her something to drink. But Jesus has some wonderful answers for her. Verse 10 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I'm sure when Jesus said those words, living water, it piqued her interest. For Nicodemus, the words that piqued his interest and caused all kinds of questions were being born again. As a religious person, this was so hard for him to understand. But here's this woman who is having such a hard time understanding what is Jesus talking about with living water. She asks him about not having something to draw water out. How could he get this water? And Jesus says in verse 13, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. This moment is really critical in her life. Just like Nicodemus could not understand how I'm an old man and going back into a mother's womb to be born again. He couldn't understand, despite all of the things he knew about God and his word and the Old Testament, he couldn't understand being born again. Here's this woman who can't understand right away about this living water that Jesus wants her to be able to have from him, to ask of him, and he would give it to her. And as she's not understanding, Jesus really kind of puts his finger right on the greatest need in her life when he tells her to go and call the husband. He was showing her that he was more than just a Jew. He was showing her that he's more than just somebody from a different culture. He's showing her that he has something that her heart needs. Just like Nicodemus needed to see his need for being born again, this Samaritan woman needed to understand her need for something in her soul that she could not have found. We already know from her story that she has tried several marriages and to living with several different men. She had been searching all her life for something that she couldn't find. She searched in one area of things. Nicodemus was searching in other areas. But neither of them had the one thing that they needed most, and that was Jesus Christ in their life. And I want to tell you, I didn't come to Moldova to solve all of their political problems, all their economic problems. I didn't come here to start just social programs where we're trying to distribute aid to the poor and needy, because they're all around us, and we do help people as we're able to through the church here. But I'm telling you, those aren't their greatest needs, just like it wasn't the greatest need that Nicodemus had, just like it wasn't the greatest need that this woman had. The thing that their soul had always been searching for was found in the person of Jesus Christ. Their soul, her soul, was searching and thirsting for something to satisfy it, and they had never found it in anyone or anything else. And this is what's true. This is what I see in our world today, is people are searching all over in everything for all kinds of stuff, and they're not finding the thing that brings true joy and true satisfaction and true peace in your life. The thing that will make that which is broken whole again. The thing that will make the thing that just can't make all the pieces of life work together. The family doesn't work together. Parents and kids don't get along. Marriages are not working together. Even within the church, the thing that we're missing is the life of Christ in us that brings us together, and they don't have it, and Jesus is offering it to her. Her opinion of Christ begins to change as Jesus answers about this woman. Verse 17 says, "And then the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. The woman said unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she's gone from calling him a Jew in verse number 9. Now she's going unto him and calling him Sir. So she's changed from just calling him Jew to giving him a little more respect and calling him Sir. But when he brings out this part of her past that she's never told him, there's no way he could have known except that he'd be a prophet. Now she recognizes he's more than just a Jew. He's more than just a Sir. He's more than that. He's a prophet. But yet there's more. So she, because she sees him as a prophet or a person of faith, a religious leader, she says to him her own questions after Jesus has asked her his questions. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is still seeking those who want to worship him, who want to live for him, who want to serve him. For this is the purpose. This is the reason we're born again. This is the reason he changes our life. This is the reason that he saves us and makes us his own, is that he is seeking those who out of heart of gratitude, who out of heart of love for God, the one who loved us and sent his son to die for us, just like we read in verse 16 of chapter 3, God loved us that much. And he is seeking those who in turn will serve and worship him. And I have to tell you, I know you're in the middle of your missions conference, and I'm convinced as a young teenager who sat in a church, heard the gospel, heard the message, heard the call for missions and missionaries to go and carry the gospel to some other people, to some other place, I have to tell you today that it was God's love for me, his sacrifice for me, that caused me to say, okay, God, I don't have to no longer live for me. You died for me. I can live for you. And I, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm a debtor to speak the things that God has given me to say. I felt that burden from the Lord, and even this calling from the Lord to be saying, God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, for however long you want me there, God, wherever, whenever, however, I will go and I will share your gospel message with those who you have for us. And I have to tell you, as a teenager sitting in a missions conference, when the Iron Curtain fell and the doors of opportunity for missions in Eastern Europe in the former Soviet Union came open, I didn't know what that meant when I felt God tugging on my heart and saying, Daniel, I want you to go and to carry the gospel to the people of Eastern Europe, to the people of the former Soviet Union. I didn't even at that point know about Moldova. I just knew about Ukraine and Russia and some of the other smaller countries. I didn't know Moldova was a country, but God was leading me along the way. Of course, God has led me and Emily along the way over the years to meet so many different people that were a lot like Nicodemus and a lot like this Samaritan woman. I'll just share one story with you about a young girl named Sveta. Sveta grew up here in Moldova, but at a very young age, about 7 or 8, her parents were not able, her mom was not able to keep her with them in the house, her older sister. And so she got put in an orphanage in a whole other city on the other side of the country. And she stayed there until she was 16 years old when she aged out of the orphanage where she was living. She ended up back here in Hinchesht. And it was after she came back here at Hinchesht at 16 years old that we met her and got to share with her. And I have to tell you, she had been rejected by her family, abandoned by her family in many ways. She had gone through so many difficult things through her life. But through it all, she was seeking something. She knew she was missing something that she didn't have. Now today, Sveta is a follower of God. She's been baptized in her church, but her struggles are not over. Right now, she is a mom at home with a young baby. Her husband is in Germany working because there's no work here for him. And she's trying to be a gospel witness to her rest of her entire family who are not saved, as well as raise a small child to serve the Lord. But it's difficult. It's very difficult. But she reminds me so much of somebody with a very difficult past like this, a Samaritan woman, because as a young teenager and young adult, she'd been through so many things, but God wanted to touch her life. God wants to use her. And our church here is filled with people like that. I think of another young man who was here in Moldova. His name is Peter. And Peter also grew up. He was the last of, I think, 11 children. He has many brothers and sisters. None of them know the Lord. But Peter has a great burden. He came and got saved as a teenager, also in part of our church. He's married now, has one son and another one on the way, and he's an integral part of our church. He's kind of my right-hand man here in the church, and the God is using him in many ways. He's chosen to sacrifice a lot of things in his life against what his family would push him to do, against what others would push him to do, and he's demonstrating real faith. He's not an outspoken guy. He's not a preacher. He's not a teacher. But he is a quiet worker who wants to live for God and wants to share with God. And so as I look through these passages with you today, John chapter 3, John chapter 4, my mind is filled with all the different Peters and Svetas that the Lord has allowed us to reach. And you've had a part in that, in allowing us to see these people come to know the Lord. And so here's the Samaritan woman. She's changing her perspective of Christ from Jew to serve to prophet. And finally, we see here, as Jesus is talking about true worshipers, verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. We weren't there during that moment, but I have to believe when he said these words to her in verse 26, something had to click inside of her. Because for all of the Old Testament saints who believed and expecting the Messiah to come through faith from Abraham all the way down, those in faith were looking ahead to the Messiah to come. They were believing ahead that he would come. The Savior would one day come. The Messiah, the Christ, would come and be the one who would save them. The disciples come back, and she has already understand this. Verse 28 says, the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She believes that Jesus is the Christ because that's who he said he was. She has received him as the Christ. She has received him as the Messiah. She goes on to basically, through her testimony, begin a revival there in that city, in that town. And I have to tell you that I believe God is going to use simple people like Peter and Sveta to be able to reach and see revival that would allow this entire church building to be full of people. I have to tell you, we're not there yet. Pandemic has really knocked down our numbers. We've got a lot of people working in other places. We've got a lot of people that haven't been back since the restrictions started almost a year and a half or whatever it was ago in March of 2020. There's a lot that we are praying for God to do. But I truly believe that God wants to use people just like the Samaritan woman, just like Sveta, and just like Peter and many others in our church to see people who don't know the Lord and to say to them, I have met the Messiah. I have met the Savior. I have met the Christ. Come and see all the things that God is doing. The harvest that Jesus begins to talk to them about, we can see even in verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And the Bible says, verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is where my heart breaks. I am begging God and asking you to pray with us that more and more and more Moldovans, would the light would click, both like it needed to click for Nicodemus and it needed to come on for this Samaritan woman, that they would understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and that he is the one that can save them. I love the verses, and I know many times from missions conference they're read, but I want to read them again today. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There are not many missionaries here in Moldova at all. There are a lot of churches. There are very few pastors, and there are very few servants of God here in Moldova. Most of the churches, if they're lucky, have a pastor, but many do not. We're living in a time where there's been a mass exodus of Christian believers from here in Moldova. Overall, Moldova, since the time that we came here 17 years ago, has gone from 4.5 million people to 3.5 million people. In fact, as we moved here to Hinchest, right as we were doing that, the missionary who had been trying to get a church going here, he left and went to America, and we came here to take his place. And that same scenario has been played out all across Moldova. When I get a chance to travel around, when I get a chance to go around not just the city of Hinchest here, but the capital of Chisinau across Moldova, the villages, the countryside, and on rare occasions when you have a chance to travel to other places around Eastern Europe, I am convinced that the harvest fields of the world are ripe. They're ready to harvest. There is a revival that God wants to do in and through his people here in Eastern Europe, and not just here, but all around the world, including right there where you are in Toronto. But listen, I want to share with you, it's not going to happen without Christians who are willing to pray for the harvest, who are willing to pray that God would bring a great harvest to the people of the world. Secondly, I want to share with you, it's not going to happen if we're not willing to go both across the street, across the town, and around the world if God wants you to do. I believe there's somebody there that God wants to use to reach somebody else. Again, it may be just right there where you are in your Jerusalem. It may be in your Samaria, a neighboring area, and it may be into the uttermost part of the earth. God wants to use you. Yes, you who are not a preacher, you who are not a teacher, you who are not anybody but a simple person, but you're no different than this Samaritan woman. You're not like Nicodemus, but you may be like this Samaritan woman who had a past, but she let God use her to be a great witness to those around her. And many came. And by her testimony and then by the word of Christ, many, many more believed and were saved. And you can do that. You can say, come and see Christ. Come and get to know him. Come and see. Oftentimes, as Christ called his disciples and they called others, that was the call. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see Christ. Come and read with me. Come and understand with me. Come, I'll help you. Come together. We'll study God's word. Come together. We will begin to understand who Jesus Christ is and how he's willing to offer you the gift of a living water. Finally, I want to share with you that God can use also your gifts and multiply them. Oftentimes, I think about the young boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they really, truly weren't much. And I'm convinced that many times God takes missionary offerings and missionary giving and puts it in, and he does amazing things with it. We couldn't be here at all if you and your church were not willing to take the small part that you have, combine it with the small parts that others have, and allow God to see it multiply and cause great things. Praise the Lord, in all these years, we've never gone without food. We've never gone without bills being paid. We've lived very humbly lives, willing to just sacrifice from ourselves so that others and the work of God could go forward. But you know what? It's worth it all. and we ourselves sacrifice to give towards missions. I know many of you do as well. And God is taking what you're giving and he is multiplying it in ways you just can't understand all around the world. And so for that, I want to encourage you to keep going in all three of those areas, especially with prayer, the willingness to be able to be a witness yourself, and perhaps even some of you willing to go for places far beyond like what we have done for here in Moldova. And thirdly, I'll be willing to give something. And you may say, well, it doesn't seem like much, Brother Daniel. That's okay. God can take it and he can multiply it and use it for his glory and to see many people come to know the Lord. In closing here, I'd like to share with you some of the thoughts that I really feel and truly believe that are so important. Verse 36 of John chapter 3 says, he that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There's one last thing I want to share with you at the ending. I don't know who may watch this video. I don't know who may listen to this all the way there where you are, and maybe in places that I wouldn't even think of around the world. I want to share with you, just like the religious person Nicodemus, and just like the person with a very difficult past, like the Samaritan woman, you need Jesus Christ in your life. If you do not have Jesus Christ as part of your life, if you have not said to him that you want to repent of your sins, believe and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not have eternal life. You will not be able to go into the presence of God and to be able to receive into heaven without Jesus Christ. And our wrath, the punishment that we deserve, it gets placed upon Christ at Calvary. And for all who receive Christ, you receive the gift of eternal life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have eternal life. But to all who have Jesus Christ, you get the precious gift of God, eternal life. Nicodemus needed, it was called the new birth there, because we were born once physically and we need to be born again spiritually by faith in Christ. For the woman at the well, he used the thing that could speak right to her heart. She needed the thing that her soul had always wondered. And I want to ask you, have you got that? Have you received that thing that God wants to present to you? Living water, eternal life. He offers it to you freely as a gift. If you'll take it, he'll give it to you, and you can become a child of God, be forgiven of all your sins, and be able to know that you have God's gift of eternal life. I just want to challenge you. The Lord has allowed me to have the chance to witness to many people, to pray with many people. And if you are being led by the Lord to call upon him for salvation, I want to encourage you to do that. And if you're struggling, if you have questions, if you need help along the way, to seek out the leaders of this church, to seek out Christian friends who know more in the faith and ask them to help you along this way. And finally, Christian, whether you be young or old, whether you recently come to faith in Christ or whether you've been saved for many years, what does God want to use you to do to reach more people with the gospel of Christ? Does he want you to pray more? Does he want you to do more witnessing? And does he want you to give more? We can all do more. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, 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 pray. Pray for Moldova. Pray for Eastern Europe. Pray for Canada. Pray for the United States. Pray for all of these countries that God would put upon your heart during this missions conference to see where God would have you to get more involved in what God is doing in countries and places all around the world. Thank you so much for listening to this message. May the Lord bless you. And again, for Emily and for myself and our three kids, Hannah, Josiah, and Tabitha, thank you for the chance to serve here in Moldova and for all the things that you are doing to make that possible. And again, I'm so privileged to have a chance to just share with you a little bit. I do hope one day on a furlough not too far down the road to be able to be there in person. But until then, please accept our thanks and gratitude for all you're doing for the gospel of Christ here in Moldova. God bless.